Morning to Second Service folks. Today is the fourth and the final message in a very brief series entitled, I Love His Church. We began by giving the state of the church message on the first Sunday of January, and then we talked about a church worth sharing with others, and last week a church worth supporting, and this week a church worth serving our Lord. And I want to invite you to Psalm 122. With this bit of background, this is truly a Jewish psalm. It's called a psalm of ascent, meaning it's one of the songs that the Jewish people sang when they went up to the Temple Mount to worship and praise the Lord. There are words in this psalm that will remind you of all of the Old Testament happenings. Let's go to the house of the Lord, standing within the gates of Jerusalem, a city that is built together. Speaks of Israel, thrones and judgments, and especially the house of David. So what we're going to look at this morning is an Old Testament song that is an illustration of how you and I ought to feel about our own church home, how we ought to get excited about being in the presence of God with the people of God for the purpose of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So let's read together Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Spend a moment in prayer. Father, as we look at this passage, may it come alive to our understanding. And as a result of that, may you be glorified and your people be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I sensed as I began to study this passage three or four ideas about what real service to the Lord's church was all about. The first thing that I noted as I studied the psalm was that true worship is an expression of heartfelt joy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. All of you who have children or grandchildren maybe remember that first time when one of them came home from kindergarten or school or the Sunday school class and said, you know, one of my friends told me about one of those amusement parks, maybe Florida, Texas, California. I don't know what the name of it was, but they were so excited because their friends told them how grand it was, how glorious it was. You could eat all you wanted to eat. You could ride rides from early morning to late night. It was just a splendid thing that they had thought about. Well, they had not seen it, and they had not been there, but they had heard. And then maybe that day came, a few months or even years later, when you said to the family, hey, do you know where we're going on vacation this year? And the kids perked up a little bit, but not much, because it could have been the same old that they'd done year after year after year. But you announced the name of the park. You said, we're going to that city, to where that is. And all of a sudden, you had piqued their interest. And as the days and weeks went by until it was time for them to go, they became more and more excited. That was the topic of conversation. What are we going to wear? When are we going to leave? What are we going to do when we get there? And the morning came when you were going to get in the car and drive to that place. And they got up earlier than ever before, woke you up, in fact. Couldn't eat breakfast, so excited about going. And scarcely had you crossed the county line until they said, exactly. Y'all make pretty good preachers. What excitement. What anticipation. What a thrill that was for their little minds and hearts. Now go back with me about 3,000 years. The old farmer in northern Galilee or southern Judea or over on the West Bank, he had farmed year after year. They'd had a baby several years ago, and the baby was almost seven now. And Israel commanded every family, if at all possible, every seventh year, to go up to the holy city for Passover. And there at the holy city to take a sacrificial animal and spend a few days and worship God. The father had done that earlier in life when his parents took him. But it had been that seven-year period of time or longer since they'd been able to go. And so this year, the father calls the family together and says, when spring arrives, we're going to pack and we're all going up to Jerusalem. And by the way, no matter where you are in the land of Israel, if you head to Jerusalem, you're going up because it's on a plateau. And so from wherever they were, the north, the south, the east, or the west, the days came closer and closer to when they were going to leave. And finally it was time for the Passover, and the family just had a few days to get there. And they packed what they could, and they picked out of what they had a sacrificial animal, and they began their journey toward the holy city. Hour after hour, it became wearisome, and they trudged along until suddenly the father said, "Son, keep your eyes open now. Won't be long before we top this next little hill, and something spectacular is going to occur." And in a few steps, they did so, and the bright, shining sun hit the Temple Mount and sparkled like a diamond that these children had never seen before, and they gasped. And they thought, what in the world? And as they continued to march toward the city, dozens and dozens of others joined them until finally there were hundreds and even thousands. And they began to sing a song that said, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord." And they began to ascend the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And there it was, the great temple of the living God out before them. And they rejoiced that they were able to stand inside the gates of Jerusalem as children of the living God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want to ask you, do you have that kind of joy every Sunday morning when it's time to come to the house of God? I want to ask you that. I want to know, does that kind of joy awaken you and excite you and thrill you until nothing else and no one else could keep you from wanting to be in the presence of the Lord with the people of God for the purpose of worshiping Him? You know, worship is the recognition that I am a child of God and that I belong inside the gates of the city. And it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's according to His mercy and His grace. The shocking reality that God would invite me to come boldly into His presence and join my heart together with the hearts of others and worship Him is beyond my possible imagination and sometimes even comprehension. You see, that's not really just a Sunday event. It's not just a once every 7 years thing as it was for the ancient Hebrew, but it's a daily lifestyle. It's the desire to worship Him every morning when I awaken, ascend into His presence, and give Him honor and glory and praise. Pastor, you don't know what kind of days I have. I have some of those too. But my boss chewed me out last week, but you're redeemed. But my car wouldn't start, and I don't have the money to fix it, but you're redeemed. But the doctor's report was not exactly what I was expecting. But you're redeemed. But things are not going just like I want them to in my life. But you're redeemed. But my finances, but you're redeemed. Don't you get it? You've been invited into the royal family and presence of the true and living God. I don't know what it's like on the farm, but you're marching to Zion. You're asked to come into His presence. You can worship Him in spirit and in truth. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Do you know that kind of joy? You see, other joys compete. The joy of vacation, the joy of recreation, the joy of someplace else and something else. But there's no joy like that joy of coming into the presence of the Lord. There's a second principle that I see, and that is true worship is a recognition of our devotion and our duty. Look at verse 4. The tribes go up. That's because the tribes were commanded to go up. These are the tribes of the Lord, the psalm says. This is because it is decreed for Israel, and their purpose in going up is to give thanks, it says, to the name of the Lord. There is a devotion built into this psalm that says to us, the deepest act in our heart is to worship Him who created us. Not the creature and not the creation, but the Creator is to be worshiped. And as they ascend up to those stairs, and as they look to that temple mount, and as they see that precious place where the Holy of Holies dwells, and they know that the presence and power and provision of God is nearby, and they worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not only a time of thanksgiving, but it seems to be a time of fellowship because the tribes go up. Can you only imagine from the east, the west, the north, and the south, people ascending up to Jerusalem? And as they come, they almost come up the southern stairs. So what that means is those from that direction, and that direction come around and join those coming from this direction, and they all go up together before the Lord. That's what church is. When we come together, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. When we come together from north, south, east, and west, when we come from that background, from that education, from that financial status, from that age group, from that color of skin, when we come from north, south, east, and west, when we all come together, we come to the same place and we come up to the same person. We come in the name of Jesus to worship Him in spirit and truth. I tell you, the rich man is just like the poor man when he bows at the foot of the cross. I tell you, the black man, white man, red man, and yellow man are equal at the foot of the cross. I tell you, no matter how much money you have or don't have, when you come to the foot of the cross, we're all the same. There is an equalizer, a commonality at the foot of the cross where every man, woman, boy, and girl comes to worship God who is worthy of being worshiped. And the stairs were filled with those who would ascend up into His presence, the commonality of devotion and duty as we rise together to be with the Lord. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time that belongs to God. It's a commandment being kept as we rise up before Him. Number three, true worship results in concern. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the security. Pray for all those who are within the walls. Pray for your brothers and your companions. Pray that peace will be upon the house of Israel. Those are all the requests of those last verses. Pray, bring about a common concern and a common result. When we talk about praying for the peace of Jerusalem, sometimes we talk about peace as just the absence of conflict. But the Hebrew word here is more like the state of wholeness, not just the absence of conflict, but the state of completion or wholeness. Pray that Jerusalem will be whole and complete before Almighty God. Pray that the passiveness of mankind will give way to the activity and the excitement and the enthusiasm of the children of God. I said in first service that I was going to do it, and I guess I'll do it again because I got by with it in first service. So maybe I'll just test my luck this morning. One of the fears that I have concerning the churches in America, not just Central, but down the street and wherever else there's a church that's an evangelical, gospel-preaching church, one of the great fears that I have is that somehow in the last couple of decades, we have developed a consumer mentality. Let me explain that to you. I don't have any particular allegiance to Dillard's. And my wife's another story. We'll talk about that later. But I really don't have any allegiance to Dillard's. And if I go to Dillard's looking for a certain kind of shirt and a certain color and a certain size, and they don't have it, I don't stand in the aisle with a moral dilemma. Oh my goodness, they don't have it. I sure wouldn't do business with anybody else. What now am I going to do? I march right across the way into another shirt store, and if they've got it, I buy it, wear it proudly, and go on about my business. Now imagine you do the very same thing. And that's okay with Dillard's. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not okay with the local New Testament church. This consumer mentality is killing us all. I like the preaching over there, but you know, I like the music over here. And I went, my kids were in the Sunday school over there, but I sure like the youth group over here. And I like the fact that they give things away over there. And I like the fact that they do things differently over here. And so we've got this idea that we show up to get what we need, get what we want, and if we don't get what we want, we find someplace else that'll give us what we want. Loyalty has gone out the window in a great many New Testament churches. I want to tell you something. If McDonald's burns my burger, I'll go to Burger King. Unless I own McDonald's. And if I own McDonald's, I won't go to Burger King. I'll go to the kitchen. And I'll say to the cook, we're going to learn how to fry burgers. And we're going to get it right. And we're going to do it till it's right every time we do it. And I'll stay and I'll work diligently to get it like it needs to be. But in the average New Testament church, if somebody gets their burger burnt, they're out quickly. When will somebody take ownership? When will somebody say it's my church? And if they're not doing it right, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to talk to the pastors. I'm going to meet with the deacons. I'm not going to cause a problem. I'm going to be a part of a solution. I'm going to do what needs to be done until it gets fixed. I'm going to go up to the house of the Lord with one thing on my mind, and that is to worship God who is worthy of being worshiped. This consumer mentality is killing New Testament churches. We're acting more like keepers of the aquarium than we are fishers of men. We are passive in our attendance. We are passive in our ministry. We are passive because we are fearful of offending somebody when we say Jesus Christ deserves our very best. And true worship is all about praying for the peace, the wholeness of the body of Christ. It translates to loving members, loving the corporate church, loving the lost, getting involved, being sold out. It translates to staying put. It translates to working hard. It translates to getting it fixed. It does not translate to getting what you want and leaving the rest. It translates to working so that we have much to offer to the many. It's true worship. And let me quickly close by saying true worship always results in community. I want you to look at verse 8. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be unto you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. True worship, true service always results in community. Let me tell you what community is. First and foremost, we've been commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and spirit, and our neighbor as ourselves. So that when we do love God with all of our heart, soul, and spirit, we cannot help but love one another as we love ourselves. Community occurs when we show that love in biblical ways. Let me ask you a question. In fact, let me pose this as a little bit of a test. If you want to know if you really have community in the local church, answer this question. Am I open to the encouragement of the pastor, the staff, the other members of the church? Am I open to reproof and correction when necessary, when it's done in loving biblical kindness? Am I open to that? Or do I want people to mind their own business, leave me alone, I've got my pew picked out, I know which service I want to come to, I'll stay as long as I want to, I'll leave when I want to, I'll give what I want to, and nobody needs to tell me how I should go about serving God. Community says we're in this together. Community is the Father saying, it's time to go, get in the car, and all of us together anticipating the journey. Community is working together, serving together, loving together, helping one another, forgiving one another, confessing sin to one another, mentoring one another, and in all ways worshiping together the God who's worthy of all of our worship. You know anything about community? The community of the saints that for the sake of the church and for the sake of brothers and sisters will pray for spiritual wholeness. The love of God produces love for others. And you relate to others based on God's love, not based on what they can do for you or what you can get from them. Do you look for ways to encourage? Do you look for ways to bless? Do you look for ways to help? Is your life a giving life, a serving life, an encouraging life? Is it about you or is it about others? For community is birthed, it's born out of a recognition that we are in the gates of the city, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to the grace which saves us. So let me just quickly tell you this. When I finished those four thoughts, three things occurred to me. First and foremost, this psalm points to Jesus Christ. We don't have to go from the farmland up to the city and up the stairs and across the Temple Mount and into the porch of the temple. We just come boldly to His throne of grace because we've been invited. This points to Jesus. This says there will come a day when you'll not have to make that kind of trip that takes hours and days and weeks and sometimes months. But in a split second, you can come into His presence. Abba, Father, and I'm there. Heavenly Father, and I'm in His presence. It points to Jesus. The second thing that I noticed when I finished reading that psalm is this. We never again have to go to a certain place because the place that we're going to is not the building, it's the presence of God where two or three are gathered together. And here's what I mean by that. We don't come to church. We are the church, and we come together. And when you understand that, it makes a difference. We don't come to church. We are the church. This is the building. We are the church. And the church comes together. And when we come together, we do so because we're glad to go into the house of the Lord, the place where people meet, the place where worship takes place. But then as I thought mostly about it, the excitement really came. And for fear of your condemnation and judgment, I won't even tell you what I did when this hit me. But we are marching up to Jerusalem. We are. We are coming to a city whose builder and maker is God. There is a morning soon to occur when the dead in Christ are going to be raised and the living saints are going to be raptured. And all of us together are going to come and stand before the temple of the living God in heaven. And little children are going to say, "Oh, it's everything I ever heard and thought about and more." And adults are going to shout, "The half was not even told." And we're going to look at the golden streets and we're going to marvel and we're going to look at the throne, the rainbow and everything that's there. And then finally fix our gaze upon Jesus Christ and say, "The journey was worth it all. The trip was everything it needed to be because it got me to the place where now I'm standing on the Temple Mount and all I can see is the one who loved me and gave himself for me, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me?" And you ask me, "Pastor, what has that got to do with serving in a New Testament church?" It's got everything to do with it. For that's our motive and that's our purpose. And if we don't understand that, no wonder we're haphazard, unfaithful, inconsistent. If we don't get it, we're not coming to church. We're coming to Jesus. We're not coming to sing. We're coming to worship. We're not coming to hear a sermon. We're coming to praise the living God. We're not coming for what we humans have somehow figured out that God wants us to do. We have figured out what God wants us to do, and that's why we're coming. We're coming to stand in His presence and glorify Him because we're redeemed, because we're children of God, because we're Israelites in spirit. And even when the day is long and the times are tough and we struggle with the world around us, we don't forget our feet are standing within the gates. We have seen the Temple Mount. Our eyes have fallen upon the Holy of Holies. Nothing or no one can take it away from us. We are marching to Zion. And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Let's stand together. And while the pastors come to the altar and wait for you, somebody lost could be saved. Somebody could make a profession of faith and follow the Lord in baptism as these have in the earlier part of the service. Somebody could become a part of our church family by letter or statement. Or somebody could just come and say, "Pastor, I am committing myself afresh to faithfulness to your church. I'm going to be what God calls me to be, expects me to be, and has anointed me to be." So while the pastors are here and we sing and God speaks to your heart, you come. The Spirit.